Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone, welcome to Private Parts.
Giddy up, listeners.
Giddy up where?
Giddy up. Just giddy up. If you're on a horse, giddy up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired today.
Do you know what? Hey, listen, we speak about this at the top of the podcast.
Yeah.
You don't want to tell the guys you're tired. That's just complaining.
I'm honest.
Yeah, but... I don't
hide behind a facade.
It's not hiding behind a facade.
I'm being honest. Look, guys, I'm tired. I was starting to say this on the podcast, but we got cut off by a fire alarm. I think some prospectors have found black gold underneath my apartment. The drilling that's going on. I think they found oil. There's Daniel Day Lewis is out there going, "We're going to need more men." Honestly, they were drilling at like 6 days. Like, I was like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Saying that sentence is so scary in any situation. We're going to need more men.
You say that with Sophie a couple of times. Yeah. Nothing's working. We're going to need more men.
Sophie says it to me normally. We're gonna need more men.
But it's the worst when like building works or road works happen outside your thing. Mm-hmm. It's terrible for a hangover. So they have no respect.
Wait, are you hungover today?
No, I'm not, but it will be.
You're preempting.
Because Halloween's coming up. It's gonna be hellish.
you're preempting your hangover.
Yeah, I am. Well, okay. I don't know. Actually, I might abstain this Halloween.
Hey, listen. Have you ever watched Fire Festival on Netflix?
No. What's that?
Tell me. Fire Festival documentary.
More.
Okay, I'll tell you about it. So basically, Fire Festival was perceived as the world's greatest ever festival ever. We had models being flown over there to do a big kind of video recording about how great it was going to be. Fire Festival is the thing that changed the government rules to say that you have to do hashtag ad. If an influencer on Instagram or social media, you're posting an ad, at the end you have to say hashtag ad.
Right.
That Fire Festival changed that because it was false advertising. These models were paid to go over there and promote this festival that was happening when it wasn't even the festival they're promoting. They're just promoting something random.
They used Instagram models, influencers to sell tickets to rich suckers.
Pretty much.
How many did you buy?
Do you know what? I nearly bought tickets.
I fucking knew you would.
Oh, it's a festival. It's going to be fun in the Bahamas. It sounded great.
Oh, and fucking Kylie Jenner. Wait, is that?
Yeah, Kendall Jenner. Kendall Jenner was there. Emily Ratajkowski. I was like, I'm going to hook up with one of them.
Kylie Minogue.
Kylie Minogue. So anyway, so big Fire Festival thing. It was huge. They made a huge documentary.
I watched the documentary. It's intense.
And I heard, you know, the thing why they got all the footage to the documentary is a production company called Fuck Jerry.
Crispy Shorts.
There's a little bit of banging going on somewhere, but don't worry about that, guys. So Crispy Shorts, basically, they were paid to shoot everything for the Fire Festival, right? They were paid to shoot absolutely everything. And they then went to get paid by Billy McFarlane, who was the CEO of it. And Billy McFarlane couldn't pay them, and he was being taken to jail because everything was a failure. And so they said, fine, we'll sell it. And they sold it to Netflix. as a documentary.
For $90 billion. Well, they probably made a fucking fortune.
Yeah, and now Netflix is one of the most, the biggest streamed documentaries on Netflix. And we have Andy King, who was the producer, was the main organizer for the whole event. And he's on the podcast today.
He was Evian Blowjob Guy.
He was Evian Blowjob Guy.
You all remember it.
Well, unless you haven't seen the documentary.
Unless you haven't seen the documentary, and then maybe watch it. Maybe watch it after the podcast.
Watch it after the podcast. Or pause the podcast now and go and watch it.
So many stories.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Listen, we sit back, relax, get ready for storytelling, because here we go. It is a Private Parts episode with Andy King. Ooh. Remember to subscribe and write a comment in the notes below if you like the podcast.
But only nice ones.
Only nice ones.
Because we're fragile beings.
All right, here we go. Enjoy the episode. So before we kick things off, do you sleep well?
Mm.
Yeah. See. I knew that you can relate straight away.
I don't sleep well.
You don't?
No.
Though we have a beautiful bed at our hotel, which we've been sleeping very well. But and we have a great bed at home. But I don't know. My sleeping pattern hasn't.
My bed is beautiful, but my mind is not.
There it is.
That's the problem.
Always going. I mean, my bed used to be my sanctuary. It was always like, and nothing could stop me from sleeping.
Yeah, I want to hear this. So your bed was your sanctuary as well. So that's the place where.
Well, it was, you know, welcome to the world of Andy King, where, you know, I'm hosting these events all the time and I'm on all day long, on until like I crawl into bed and then I'm off. And that used to be how I was for years. Now I crawl into bed and I'm not off still. I'm like, oh my God, okay, oh Jesus. Oh, what's
keeping your mind going? Is it your phone, do you reckon?
It could be. I mean,
what do you
maybe
mean your phone? What do you mean?
Well, the phone, that's what keeps me up a lot of the time.
Yeah.
No, well, I don't. I mean, I have two porn things I do.
Two porn things?
Porn, yeah.
Pornhub and YouPorn.
I do boat porn, so I'm always shopping for these beautiful old antique boats, you know. And then I do house porn, so I'm always looking at houses to buy somewhere. You know?
Jamie, what are your two porns before you go to sleep?
Yeah, mine is glory holes. Porns go; those are pretty expensive.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, searching for boats at night and houses at night isn't like a.
Well, I'm always looking for the deal. It's like, oh my God, okay. No one else is going to be up at 2 a.m. I'm like, oh, I'm telling you, look at this boat. Listen, it's just gone on the market. And it's 100 years old and it's a wreck. Andy, no, no.
You're about to come.
Swipe.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Swipe to the next. It's like Tinder for boats. No. That bitch? No, she's going to be very expensive. And I always pick the ones that need the most work. Or I like old boats.
You know? Oh, you feel like you can fix them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
Well, and they're, you know, they... As I'm like the king of sustainability in the event world, I have to sort of continue that brand in everything I do. And so I can't like buy a new beautiful super yacht. That would be like my man Leo, who's always on a super yacht. Then he gets a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no. But I could buy a really old boat and just say, we restored it and we brought it back to life. And it's all about repurposing and reclaiming.
But that's quite a nice journey. My dad's actually doing that at the minute. He bought like a really fucked up old boat.
But it's really expensive. It's
really
expensive.
And he's just been living on it and rebuilding it himself from nothing.
See, that's cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but is it cool? Because I feel like...
Yeah, I think that is cool. Well, rather than getting like a gym palace that you've spent a load of money on. And
my dad has a catamaran that he keeps in... Creation.
Well, my dad's...
yeah, my dad has a tennis court. My dad has three houses. But he does. He has a catamaran that's in Creation. You're the same where he's obsessed with boats. He just loves... And I think perhaps when you get to... when you're in your older years, you quite like that because it's kind of sense of relaxment, serenity, all that kind of thing. What he loves to do is he just likes to go out. He can be on that for months. And he now says to me the other day, he says he doesn't understand why when he comes back to London, he lives in London, he doesn't get it why we have all these things, because on the boat he needs nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is like I say to so many people at the end of the day, excuse me, the one place, you know, that if I'm on my sailboat, and I mean, you put those sails up, you turn off the engine, and you just are one with the world. And I pour myself a little glass of wine or a little rosé or a nice drink, and just take a deep breath. It's unbelievable. That is a luxury.
I'm there with you. I'm there with you.
Yeah.
I'm setting sail in my mind.
It's a total luxury. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not realistic for most of the world.
But certainly, so you like boats and then houses, but because you said this before when we come upstairs, that you love, you're into design and things like that. So whenever you go to someone's house, you basically say, that doesn't work. And they go, well, you just fucked up my whole house here. Now we have to change everything. You kind of do that in houses, don't you?
Absolutely. I'm constantly going to people's homes and just saying, why is your sofa on that wall? They're like, it's always been on that wall. I'm like,
why is your sofa on the wall?
It's so wrong. How could something so right be so wrong? And they're like, well, what do you, I'm like, it goes over there. And I'm like, okay, move it, everybody. Everybody move. Pick up your drinks. Andy says we're moving the sofa. And I do it, and at the end of the day, you know what? 4 years later, like, Andy, the sofa's still on the wall. You put it over there. It looks perfect.
I reckon what has to happen is that when you come back to the house, like, God, we're going to have to move everything back to what Andy said it was, because he's going to get
Andy's turned up drunk again. Uh-huh. Right, I think that chair should go over there. That's a toilet, Andy.
Yeah, let's start with a studio here.
Yeah, you don't start with a studio.
The computers have to go.
Everything has to go. This thing. Hey, so listen, Andy. So, by the way, I'm a huge fan of you, and I know all of our listeners right now are going to be psyched to have you on. Because I don't feel like you, from what I understand, I haven't heard podcasts that you've been on before and things. Have you done many podcasts?
Just a handful.
Okay, so a lot.
No.
A load of them.
Just a huge handful.
No, I think only 4 or 5, maybe. I don't know.
God, we're privileged.
Yeah. Because what people probably know you best for is the kind of documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Fire Festival, which was on Netflix.
What was that?
Did you not catch that one?
I missed that one.
Did you not catch that one?
What went down?
You can explain it to me. For all of the listeners who don't know what Fire Festival was, how would you explain it to them?
Well, Netflix did an incredible job calling it like the greatest party that never happened. Mm. And it, you know, basically it's about...
Jamie's sex life.
Yeah, I like that. The audience like that.
Yeah,
didn't
yeah.
They? Oh, thank you, God. Jeepers. Private parts.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Now you're getting into it.
There we are.
But it was, they called it this, Netflix created a show about this festival that was put on, and it was meant to be the holy grail of all festivals.
Yes, the first luxury music festival in the world. And it was a vision that Billy McFarland, the young, I'll call him an entrepreneur, I'm trying to be nice, you know, now. You might refer
he's a sociopath.
he's a complete sociopath.
Yeah.
He's Donald Trump Jr. But
really?
Anyway, we don't have to talk politics here. But Billy had a vision, and I had worked with Billy on helping him build a company called Magnesis, which is a black credit card company.
Yeah.
So you basically, it was like an Amex black card, but you could just be, you know, a marginal person or a loser and just have your Barclays Bank debit card, but you'd swipe it onto this card, which was beautiful and metal and, you know, platinum, and you could hear it hit the ground. And we were able to, like, develop incredible relationships with all the top restaurants in New York and clubs and art galleries and, you know, gyms and whatever. Mm. And it was sort of a privileged card, but it was like $500 a year or something like that. And
what did the card do? It could just get you into places.
Yes.
That was it.
And maybe some discounts. But then Billy bought a brownstone in the village, not far from my brownstone, and I helped him decorate it, and we hired a butler, and we did chef series and wine tastings. And so it was a kind of a concept of bringing, like, young kids who come to New York, they get out of university and they're working ungodly hours. They really don't have that much time to meet anybody. So this was like a way to kind of like a club where you have this community now where kids are meeting people constantly in all these events. And so I hosted 44 events for Billy for free. That's one of my problems. And
that was stupid.
Free. Yeah.
One of my problems.
Yeah,
did he give you a black card? Is that?
Yeah.
But we can get you into Equinox.
There it is. Oh, we did. Do a lot of negotiating with Equinox.
You get a free chicken at Nando's.
But I helped him sort of grow the business from like 400 members to 15,000 members.
And wow.
That's a lot of members.
It's a lot of members, yeah.
500 quid, that's a good amount.
Yeah, and then he opened up a Magnesis in Washington. I think they were starting to do one in San Francisco. So they were starting to move these into different cities across America. And
what was the motivation? What is the kind of end game with that, right? So what is it to?
He wanted to sell Magnesis to a big credit card company for a big sum of money. So he was just,
he was obsessed with cash, right?
Absolutely. And credit card companies, I think they struggle with getting that demographic, which are these young kids coming out of university that need a card, but they still don't have quite the amount of credit that they should. Mm. And then they're kind of, they don't jump into it too quickly. And so Billy was focusing on a demographic like a Visa and a MasterCard really wanted. So they're like, oh, we have 15,000 people that we really want. Billy has them. We will pay a lot of money to absorb this membership and the concept. And that was, ironically, that was the way that Billy got me to fire, because he had made me a board member of the company. And so he called me, and I was hosting the World Cup Pro-Am Ski Championships in Squaw Valley. And he said, where are you? I said, I'm north of San Francisco. He said, well, I need some help. I'm doing this music festival in the Bahamas, and we're having some challenges. And I said, I need a few days. He said, well, I'll send a jet. And that should have been like,
what?
That should have been just like warning. But I'm like, a jet. You know what? Billy's doing really well right now. That's fine. A fucking jet to San Francisco? That's about 50 grand. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. So he sent the jet, and I arrive in the Bahamas. And Billy was, the original story was that Billy had, in that discussion on the phone before the jet arrived, he just said, I bought Pablo Escobar's island in the Bahamas. And I'm like, oh my gosh, right? And I knew the island because I grew up going to Exuma, which is where the festival actually ended up sort of not taking place. And so I knew a lot of the islanders. And I said, Pablo's, why Pablo's island? And he said, well, that's the largest private landing strip in the world, which of course it did because of all the drug dealing that went on. But he never bought it, and he was working with leasing it from Pablo's lawyers, and nothing was ever done properly. And so they finally just said, listen, you need to get your crew and everybody out of here. And so he went to the adjacent island, Exuma, which is where he, but still.
I love that Pablo was able to hang on to the island, even though he was a drug trafficker and dead.
Don't you love it?
But yes. It was his family. But Pablo Escobar's family still, they own everything of his. They do tours with his house. They basically just,
making
just
money with,
run off the back of his name.
Drug trafficking is cool, kids.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah.
It'll work out.
You want to come see it? But okay, I want to take a step back as well. So what was your background? Your background was creating events and doing events, because how do you get involved in that and events and everything?
So I started an event business in 1994, before anybody
great
was
year
born. Were you born that year?
88.
I was born 1990.
You were 1990.
I'd be 4 years old, yeah.
Yeah, great. Oh, my God.
How old?
I'm 100 years old. Yeah, 103. That's my age.
It's a good age.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
What well collagen preserved. Are you drinking?
Well, no, I use, you know, Fixer Upper. Who's that little TV show when she started her own cream line? That's why I look so great, yeah, because that was a porn night where I, on the TV, and she said, buy this cream. You're going to look a lot younger. And then Craig told me, you know, you get charged $100 a month on your credit card for that cream you bought once. It's been going on for about a year and a half. I'm like, what? But anyway, it really helps.
But it's working.
So yeah, I don't look 100. Yeah,
I'm a sucker for all those things. What did I put on my face the other day?
Bull semen.
I would honestly drink it. Yeah. If someone said to me, this is going to make you look younger, I'll do it. I saw a picture of Michael Douglas and I went, he's my idol. That's what I want to have, about 4 facelifts. And when I pick my kids up, when I'm old, I want to go, hey, kids. They just run away from me.
I used to get Botox in my forehead, but I haven't done it in about 20 years. But, oh, my gosh. Okay, so 1994.
Yeah, take us back.
I was profiled on the front page of the Wall Street Journal as America's first corporate concierge. And it was a concept that I had developed with a friend, and he had a database of anything you wanted to know about New York, where to buy it, where to find it, where to see it, where to eat it, where to do it. Pepsi had been lambasted and just highly criticized in Fortune magazine and Forbes magazine as one of the worst places to work. Mm. And that they just would recruit these amazing kids and then grind them in and grind them out and just continue this process. And so Pepsi struggled in like, what? How can we become an employer of choice? How can we like attract great people and then retain them? And boom. So I went through, I'd written my first cookbook that year, and so I was home a little bit.
Wait, hold on.
I know. I do a lot of shit. Asked me about sleeping? I don't have time to fucking sleep. Are you kidding
random
me?
Oh,
sorry.
Jesus.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So you've got loads of Botox, and you're running a cookbook, so you're, and then you're going on to do...
working for Pepsi, right?
Yeah.
Cookbooks.
And then... Uh-huh.
Just quick, it's so funny. That's what business... So this is the 90s. Businesses still are struggling to retain people. That's just a constant
Absolutely.
Battle with anything.
Well, and so this was like an in-house concierge service. So literally, we designed a program where you could be more productive at work and happier at home. Because you get to work, you're like, it's the biggest project that I have in my career, but the fucking bathtub won't drain upstairs. My in-laws are coming on Saturday. It's my wife's birthday on Sunday. I haven't done anything. So my kids got a bar mitzvah next, and I'm like, they call my office, Sandy. I'm like, no problem, because we'll have a plumber at your house at, you know, 3 o'clock on Thursday. Oh, it's your wife's birthday. Guess what? There'll be 24 roses waiting for her. There'll be a limo out front. We got your reservations at the best restaurant. You're going to go see Les Mis, and you're going to look like the king of fucking China. And they're like, oh, my God, you know. And I became like this miracle worker because I could call anybody. What? I would call. So I'd call.
Yeah, but how did you get those contacts?
Because I call the tape, and I say, okay, listen, I need to get 10 very high-level people in to see an exhibit that's not open yet. Like, I'm sorry, Mr. King. And I'm like, well, let me explain myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Pepsi's concierge, and I represent 250,000 people.
Have you read my cookbook?
Well, and so the Tate will say, you know what? There are different times where we can't get anybody into this museum, but I represent all these employees at Pepsi who don't give a shit what time they go. They just want to get in there. And I'm like, they're like, how about, you know, 9 a.m. and, you know, 2 weeks on a Thursday. I'm like, absolutely, no problem. Where most people are like, no, I'd love to come in at 4 and have a drink, you know. No, Pepsi employees didn't care, you know. And so then I'd call, you know, at that point it was, you know, maybe it was Les Mis or it was Rent, I don't know, some big Broadway show.
Yeah.
And you, well, now let's call it Hamilton. You know, no one can get a ticket to fucking Hamilton.
Yeah.
On and on. Well, I can because Tommy Kail, the fucking producer, was one of my bartenders. Anyway, it's a whole other story. it goes on and on and on.
I love
like
how you breeze over
effect.
Things.
Did they ever call you to ask for Coke? Coca-Cola, I mean.
Oh, don't.
That would have been controversial.
I'm a Coke drinker. This is a problem. And I decided to have a fucking pool party at my house where, of course, you know, they're they were paying me $3,000 a month. I went through 9 weeks of interviews. They're like, no, I don't think we're going to, you know, I don't think we'll hire Andy because, like, this job, you need to be able to relate to all levels of people. Well, guess what? Like, I'm best friends with the chairman of PepsiCo, and I am best friends with everybody in the mailroom. And that's who Andy King is. Like, no one, we are all the same on this planet.
Mm.
And that's been the beauty of my career. But here I am, you know, I'm like, I want to do something for all these hardworking employees. So I decide to have a pool party, forgetting that in the pool fridge is Diet Coke, regular Coke, you know, Fanta, you know, not a Pepsi product, but then 100 miles. And of course, you know, the head of human resources for Pepsi, I'm looking up and she's like, I'm like, what? You having a heart attack in the pool house? She's like, the fridge. I'm like, oh, no, not the fucking fridge. Quickly, I'm like dragging it out the back of the pool house. Anyway, so there I am, and I'm America's first, and it just went viral. But at that point, there was no social media. But I'm on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. I'm front page of the New York Times, front page of the New York Post, at Pepsi, he's the right one. Uh-huh. Oh, you need a baby elephant for your daughter's birthday party? No fucking problem. I'll deliver it on Saturday. Like, I had the animal rights people after me all the time because they had, like, porpoises and people, swimming pools. I mean, I could do anything because I had this buying power. I could call anywhere and, oh, I need tickets. And they're like, sorry, we're sold out. I'm like, I represent Pepsi. I have 250,000. And next thing you know, there's a limo in front of my office. And we want to take you to lunch because everybody, you know, there's a no solicitation policy, really, with all big corporations. You can't get in. You can't advertise. I was doing oil. You just drop your keys off at the desk in one of my concierges. Your oil's changed in your car. We had trucks that would come in and pull into the back parking lot, change your oil, detail your car, and fuel it up, and you just pick up your key at the end of the day. I had chefs making foods to go. You're like, I'm working day and night, but I got my four kids. I'm like, just stop by the dining room. Listen, there'll be dinner for eight or whatever. It'll be 25 bucks.
That is mad.
And so it went wild. And the challenge was that I began then speaking about this all across the United States, but there's only one problem. There's one Andy King. Mm. And I couldn't find other Andy Kings that could relate to all levels of employees, that could, you know, go and make things happen.
Yeah, but that's a typical founder, right? What happens, you don't want to delegate. It?
Jamie cannot challenge. Do that. he's only good at relating with high level.
But that's a masterful way to be, you know, right? That you have to relate to every single person in those situations. What is the weirdest thing someone would ask you for? What came through and you were like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to organize this.
Well, this was like one of the reasons why I was profiled in the front page of the Wall Street Journal, is that you have like Ernie, and Ernie worked in the mailroom. You know, Ernie wasn't quite all there, but he was a really good guy. Been working there for 100 years, one leg dragged behind the other. I don't know. But anyway, he was in the mailroom. And so one day he came by the office and he's like, gosh, Andy, can I talk to you? And I said, yeah. He said, well, my mom lives in Florida and she's broken her hip. And she's stuck in her apartment, and no one can help her. And I'm like, God, Ernie, sounds
horrible. Money time, but anyway,
I'm trying to organize an elephant orgy for this weekend.
Ernie, you sure don't need like theater tickets or something? Yeah. I can get you into any restaurant. He's like, no, it's my mom. And I'm like, oh, shit. God, I got to go to fucking Florida and drag this woman off the ground and try to get her around. But, you know, my family, you know, owned a company in the insurance world, and so I was able to make a few calls and find the insurance company that represented her, and then reached out to them, and they reached out to a home healthcare service, and then the next thing you know, there's a woman going in every day to help his mom. And so he came in to thank me and started to cry, and I was like, oh my word. And every day for 2 years, the mailroom was about a mile away. I mean, the campus of Pepsi, you can imagine, is huge, the big corporate headquarters, and these huge sculpture guards. Every day, he came by my office on the way into work.
Crying.
Crying every day. To thank
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but that's amazing.
So isn't sweet. That incredible? But, and so there it was, because they're like, oh, Andy, you're only going to be in the executive office all the time. Are you fucking kidding me? No. And I could walk into the cafeteria, and everybody was clapping, because I'd have a driver or someone who worked at KFC, and they're like, gosh, Andy, you know, this is a story, like there's no story. One woman came in and she's like the director of marketing at a very high level. And she's like, Andy, she starts to cry. I'm like, oh God, here we go again. And she's like,
people just crying.
And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, how was your holiday? You know, Jane? And she's like, well, I think I spent the last holiday not knowing who my real parents are, and I'm hoping you could help me find my parents. I was adopted. I'm like, Jesus, Jane. I mean, how about a restaurant for lunch? I mean,
you want to go to rent?
You think I'm Jesus? I am not Jesus. And guess what? I fucking found her parents. Well, absolutely.
I found an
agency in Washington, D.C. who finds the parents, the blood parents of adopted kids. And I mean, you would have thought I had like recreated the world for her. And she, I mean, and within 60 days, she flew to meet her parents, and they were in Seattle, and on and on. It was a huge, so there were amazing stories.
But do you know, Andy, there's a huge juxtaposition here, because you're such like a people person, you're working these things, you're basically a fixer, right? That's what you do, and you're a fixer in so many ways. Cut to years later when you're doing Fyre Festival, it's the complete opposite. So that's completely against what you have been doing for the last 30 years and all these kind of things and doing that.
Well, I thought...
Well, you were trying to do it, but it just didn't work
out. So we'll give one last good piece. So the phone rings on my concierge desk, and someone says, oh, Andy, it's the chairman of ING Bank.
He's crying.
And, well, he practically was crying. He was married to that crazy woman. But anyway, that's another story. So he says, you know, Andy, I'd love to, we've read about you in the Wall Street Journal. We'd love to have you come into our new corporate office in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And they sent a limousine and I go in and they said, you know, we would love to talk about implementing this concierge service to all our employees because we want to be the new investment banking firm. And so I said, okay. But they said, we'd like to have you start with, your first big project. And I said, sure, what's that? You know, and as a cookbook writer, and one of the things I did as a kid through university and everything else is that I catered my first wedding and did all the food when I was 16 years old.
That
and I didn't have my driver's license. And
you cooked at your own wedding?
Oh, no, no. I catered a wedding for a friend. And it was 150 guests. And I did all the food. And my grandmother's chauffeur brought me over in the Cadillac. And they're like, who the fuck is this person? Like Little Richie Rich. But I'm like, no. I'm a worker, you know, and I made all the food, you know, and that's what I catered parties, you know, during the summers and when I was at university. So, and at Pepsi, you know, I'd get a call. I have 100 Japanese, you know, tax people are coming in to the United States and we need to entertain them. And because of my power, I would make a call and I found an old loft in the meatpacking district of Manhattan. And I'd read that Elton John was coming into town and I called the broker and I said, listen, can I get 100 front row seats and anything for you, Andy? And then I find out Jean-Georges is, you know, coming out with a cookbook. And so I call and I get Jean-Georges to come and bring everybody a cookbook, make the dinner for 100. And, you know, and so I could make anybody in any department shine. But that was like the size things I was doing. So like 100 people. And so Lane, the chairman of ING, says, well, we're going public on the New York Stock Exchange and we'd like to have a party and we'd love for you to host it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Must be so much fun.
I said, what's your budget? Now, keep in mind, like, I'd probably done party for like 150 grand, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, he said, well, I think we'd spend about $2.5 million. And I'm like, and I didn't know how to respond.
Elephants, right?
And then I'm like, I didn't know what to do. And I just finally said, well, are you flexible? And he's like, sure, we'll double the budget if you come up with some great things to do. And I'm like, and I bought my first fucking 60-foot boat with a commission from that one party. That one party.
Really?
And, you know, don't ask. Elton John perform. I had Tito Puente, you know, lowering from the ceiling. I had the Boys Choir of Harlem. And, I mean, it just goes on and on.
Sounds like the glory days.
The fireworks. Yeah. And then, I mean, here's one good story. I mean, so there I am. I'm the gay guy. But I'm the gay guy who, like, wears his Gucci's and has his Rolex and always is dressed well. And I don't come in the room screaming, you go, girl. And I don't make people uncomfortable. And I owned every trading floor of every bank because I had this power and everybody loved me. But I'd come in and go, Jamie, like, what are you wearing? You know, and you go, what? You don't like it? I'm like, isn't your wife's birthday? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, we need to go shopping at lunch. Okay. And you'd say, Jane, you know, block me at lunch because Andy's taking me shopping.
You
know,
so you just do that. So you'd have this personal relationship with so many
all these traders, yeah. And so, and they were printing money in the 90s. You know, think of the Wolf of Wall Street. Mm. I hosted all that one party I did for ING.
Was it wild?
It was wild. Well, I had to do three parties for them. And then the first party was so successful, we did the second one, and then we did a fireworks display like no one had ever seen, and it stopped all the traffic on one side of Manhattan. And the next morning, the mayor's office called my office and said, we'd like to talk to Andy. I'm like, oh, what's going on? They said, well, Andy, you know, you stopped all the traffic. Like, people got out of their cars. Like, ambulances couldn't get anywhere. And we need to fine you $100,000. I'm like, oh, my God, are you fucking kidding me?
I've just bought a boat.
Yeah, I can't pay the captain now? I mean, how dare you? And so I'm like, oh, my God. So I put my tail between my legs, and I go to the bank. You know, I get out on the trading floor, and he's like, Andy. I'm like, well, I owe something. Peter, you know, head trader, can I see you in your office? He said, sure. So we go, and I said, Pete, a little problem. He's like, what? I said, well, the mayor's office called about the party last night. And,
fireworks are a little bit of an issue.
And apparently, you know, all the traffic stopped on the FDR drive. And they're fining us $100,000. He's like, don't move. Don't move. He opens the door. He's like, everybody, guess what? We stopped Manhattan last night. And now we're being fined $100,000. We're like, yeah. I should have said they fined us $1 million. They would have given me the check, you know?
Yeah.
So this was the start. And then from then on, boom, Goldman Sachs would call. Andy, how much did you spend on the party last night? I'm like, because they'd invite all these different bankers. I'm like, can't say. $1 million? Two?
They want to like try and top them.
Always. This went on for like 15 years. I mean, I averaged like 250 grand a party. And it just, but back then, you know, we have midgets on people's shoulders passing champagne. Like nothing was right. I mean, everything was just, but it was fun. But it was so
mad opulence.
So wrong. It was just bad. And so
and just debauched as well. And it was just so much. It was just money, 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 money.
Well, think of Leonardo DiCaprio and The Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, that was it. And there I was, the man hosting all the parties. And so, you know.
So was that a good rep? Was it a good rep or it was a good rep within that?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I had total respect. And I wasn't, whatever. I wasn't that bad.
Okay, Private Partners, now that is the end of part one. We didn't do that in the episode, hence why I'm doing it now, is because Andy was telling just amazing stories, so I didn't want to interrupt him. So that's the end of part one, and stick around, because we're going to be back
for more storytelling with Andy King
in part two.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.